This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mondays, you guys are the guests, and I want to hear from the people. How frustrating was that loss on Saturday for you? And that loss opened up some eyes for you saying, like, oh, you went from blessing in disguise that Stephen Curry had to miss time.
Well, you're talking yourself into it.
To what?
When someone's out, you're talking yourself into what could the silver linings be?
Well, stop doing that.
Why?
Just say you have 11 games left in the season and that there is no silver linings. You need Stephen Curry. Well, this team's not good enough to win without him.
Of course. Like, both can be true, but also the competitor and you's like, all right, somebody else step up. That's called the Patrick Ewing effect, going back to Bill Simmons. Like, this is a thing. We see this in sports sometimes. Teams galvanize behind an absence and they play well for a couple games. And then things regress back to the means.
But what if Steve Kerr just said it was, you know, a cross-country game and it was hard?
You know, these games are tough, you know, when you fly across the country and the team's waiting for you and, you know, they've been playing well and they just blitzed us. You know, it's disappointing. You know, you want to have a better effort coming out of the gates, but I've been in this league a long time and I've seen this an awful lot. Tough to get the legs moving and the mind working. First game, you know, we had this earlier in the season, I think, at Charlotte. Terrible first half. It's not an excuse because it is what it is. Everybody deals with it. And they were by far the better team out of the gates, and that set the tone.
Cross-country games are hard, and they're tough, Joe Shasky. That's what I got from there. That's not an excuse when he had 2 days off. Like, I'm not hearing that. He's not, you know, it's Steve Kerr, the head coach. He's trying to, like, you know, say, you know what, guys, we'll take this one, wear it, and then we're on to Miami, if you will. But at the same time, and I'm trying not to overreact after one game. I'm really trying not to overreact to one game because I feel like that's what
it
I'm doing right
like
now.
It feels like you're reacting pretty severely.
You have 11 games left.
Uh-huh. Did you think they were going to go 12-0 on the
final 12? Get dropped 40 in the first quarter to that Atlanta Hawks.
Sure, I didn't either. And
not
sucked.
When you have the guy that's saying he's going to be a DPOY, who says he is the DPOY in Draymond Green, and he didn't look like a DPOY Saturday.
I didn't have George Niang scoring. Let's see. Let me just look at how much he had. George Niang. Oh, he had 23. Yeah, that wasn't on my bingo card. Was that on yours?
No, but that goes back to defense. Defense was bad. They were just playing catch-up defensively the entire night.
Yeah, but they let George Niang get anything he wanted off the dribble, you know, from deep, in the paint. He was making plays for others. Like,
the scouting report was there on this team, though. They're like one of the top three most scoring offenses in the last, I don't know, handful of months. Like, this team is really good offensively.
And there's no doubt. It should not have crept up on them, but they outplayed them, and they just did. And all of their role players outplayed even your primary players. Like, Jimmy Butler, I didn't even think he had that great of a game, quite frankly.
Well, that's what I wanted to get at, too.
Like,
the Jimmy Butler angle to this, like, I know, like, the stats will show he was the only one in plus figures and the plus minus. Yeah, we love the plus minus. He was a plus 11, 25 points, 8 assists.
A lot of it from the free throw line.
He had 14 free throw attempts.
Yeah,
he missed
exactly.
Four of them, too. I'm kind of a little concerned, by the way, Jimmy Butler at the free throw line. He's been missing, like, 3 or 4 on a given night.
He missed 2 the other night, like in a row.
Yeah,
bang, bang.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned about that. Just a little bit. Shout out 50 Cent. It's not 50 Cent Friday, but just a little bit concerned. 1 of 7 from beyond the arc, 7 of 15 overall for him. The shot still, I'm worried about it. I am. Not the 3-point shot. I don't really care about those. It was probably way too much for my liking. But if Steph is going to not be there, or if he's going to have a bad game and he's going to have an off night, Joe Shasky, and we have seen him step up when Steph's not having the greatest night. But when he was out altogether, I expected more of a scoring output from him to just, you know what? instead of 15 field goal attempts from Jimmy Butler, give me 20 plus. Give me 25 plus. Just go playoff Jimmy for me. I don't care. Have the ball in your hands constantly and just go after it. He did play a lot of minutes. He had 38 minutes, so he had a lot of wear and tear there. I understand, but I would have liked to see him take over the game a little bit more. And I wonder if the fans were feeling that too at 888-957-9570. I would have liked to have him even have a bigger imprint on that game than he did.
Pods was hitting threes. I thought that Moses Moody, though he hit a couple threes, the shot has just been a little off for him. Even though I thought he had a good game. I thought Moses had a really good game. But right now, the three ball just isn't necessarily a strength. And so going 3 of 8, I'll take it because he has not hit. I can't remember the last time he's hit 3 out of 8.
No, it's a good point.
It's been probably a couple of weeks. But like, he had a really good game. Outside of that, nobody else was hitting. And it just felt like the team was very, I've used this term a lot, constipated in the half court.
Constipation.
And they settled for a lot of bad late shot clock spots. And just, it didn't look good. And credit the Hawks. I thought they made a lot of winning plays, both offensively, defensively, and in transition. And then what they do really well, Okongwu destroyed them underneath. Yang destroyed them underneath.
And does that come to focus here now? That recipe from the Atlanta Hawks on Saturday, does that give you a little bit more concern to some of these younger, big athletic teams? Again, no Stephen Curry, but the fact remains, even if Steph was there, like that's a defense that I feel like still would have gotten shredded. Like Steph's not adding much defensively if he was out there. But like, is that something you're starting to like add in the back of your mind, creep up? Like when I watched the Clippers and I watched the Thunder last night go back and forth, like high level basketball in a given series. Like I do still think as a fan base, you know, we're sleeping on the fact that, yeah, those types of teams are out there in the West, and in a series that's going to get exploited. So that does cause me to have recalibrations. When you have a loss like that, it does cause me to step back and say, deep playoff run? Well, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. Like if I'm playing like, and again, I know the team's struggling. I seem to think everyone thinks that the Grizzlies, no one's scared of. I know you and Bonte poo-poo them. You guys sleep on Taylor Jenkins. Just say he's a bad coach. That's fine. I know like they have some athletic big freaks though on that team at times, a Jaren Jackson Jr. Particularly. I know he's hurt right now, so we'll see.
Well, they've relegated him to being a three-point shooter at times in a series, so we'll see. But you bring up the Clippers. Like Zubac kills the Warriors.
Kills them.
I mean, so
that's another guy. Big size.
They didn't have Quinn Post, so
Kawhi, if he's held like again.
Yeah, but Kawhi's also got a guard, Jimmy Butler, so that should take a little bit out of him.
Sure, maybe, but Jimmy Butler's not like, his lateral quickness isn't going to be so much so where it's going to be.
No, but it's the more foul trouble and the energy exerted. Sure. But Zubac, the interesting thing with him, like if you're looking at a matchup, we haven't had Quinn Post in the last couple of times. We played them early in the season. What would it look like with Zubac having to guard him out on the perimeter a little and maybe wearing him down? Because we know he will get in the lane and kill them.
Did it look like Quinton Post was wearing anyone down on the Hawks?
Mm-mm.
No. Like, that's kind of where I'm getting at. Again, that's
going to
be something.
But I like that they stayed committed to playing him, down the stretch.
They made and he was part of that little mini run they made at the start of the third, which he's been able to do sneakily, by the way. I feel like every single time I watch the start of a third quarter, it starts with a post hitting a three.
Yep.
And it changes the momentum.
Especially
it really does.
A high one.
Yeah, and they always like the I don't know if it's a play that Steve Kerr's calling out of the break, but
teams
always
fall
works.
Asleep early in the half. They forget their assignment and they forget that this guy can shoot. He's not at the top of the charts in terms of scouting report.
I don't know why that is. Like the guy's 7 feet, like he's
number one thing
one
is
of the sexiest
on him like
jumper.
Glue.
Like, yes. Yeah, exactly. He's always I feel like when he is taking a 3-point shot, it is going in, and that is confidence right there, still Quinton Post. 28 minutes for him in a starting role, 11 points, one assist, just 4 boards. Again, 7 feet tall. I'd like to see more of the boards getting controlled there. They got dominated on the glass, 46 to 38 overall and 36 to 32 on the defensive boards and 10 offensive rebounds for the Atlanta Hawks. A lot of second chance points. And again, just attacking the paint. They were doing that offense. How many times did I see Trae Young just... He does those lackadaisical, just like running floaters where it's just like, oh, I'm just going to just lay it in. I know you love Trae Young's game, and he had a tremendous game, 25 points for him, 9 of 15. The 3-point shot wasn't there for him. He didn't need it. 6 of 7 at the line, but
he's
10
a
assists.
Foul baiter. It drives me nuts. He'll get around a guy and then
he's a really
stop.
Good player. He's a really good offensive player.
Okay, great. I think he's a losing player. I think he's a high-volume player.
He was a winning player on Saturday.
He traveled like 7 times, and they didn't call it once.
That one was a creep.
No. I'm not even talking about that one. That one was obvious.
Fitzgerald was going absolutely insane.
And he's right about that.
He did a walking in Memphis little line, which I very much appreciated.
Corey Maggette thought that was a travel.
Yeah, that was
old school Warrior fans. There you go. Like, it's just, I can't watch him play. He's so annoying.
Really?
Yeah,
I hate him as much as you do. Like, certain players really bother you, and Trae Young's one of them.
Michelle kept saying, what is with the hair?
Well, the beard is the patchy one.
What is going on? What look is he going for?
Well, he needs to go to Turkey is what he needs to do. Go to the Turkish flight, get the plugs. That's okay. You know, I have a back shoulder fade going up top. It's okay. Go to Turkey if you really feel like that way. He's the money for it. Why not?
You enjoy. I'm being serious for just a split second here. You really enjoy.
I enjoy his offensive game. I thought he was a really good ball distributor on Saturday. He had 10 assists. I thought he had some running floaters that were nice. I like his swagger in games because I know he's not going to back down, and he plays to the crowd, which I appreciate. He's player to watch.
He plays to the referees. See him. Lowry, CP3 at times.
Do you forget that run that he had against the New York Knicks in that playoff run?
He won a series. Yeah, it was great. It was amazing.
He won two series. Okay. It was very fun.
The guy gets around someone, stops, not to make a basketball play, but to get a foul.
Is he a really good offensive player or not?
He's solid. I think I really do think he's a high volume, high usage player who I don't think is a winning long-term basketball player. He doesn't make others better. Yeah, he gets a lot of high assist counts because the ball's in his hands and he's throwing it to people late.
Part of being a point guard is passing the ball and getting assists.
Yes.
That's what he was doing on Saturday. I don't want to see like I'm this Trae Young truther, but he's a good player and he showed it.
He's fine.
And but real quick, Trae Young showed. And if you don't think much of Trae Young, that's fine. But do you think of the Ja Morant of the world? Do you think highly of him?
I would take Ja Morant over Trae.
Well, Young, you might be playing him in a playoff series, and I know
I would
what
take
Ja
him
can
all
do.
Day.
Okay, and again, I know what Ja can do in a playoff series, and I fear Ja way more than I fear a guy like Trae Young.
Agreed.
And again, that highlights some of the deficiencies defensively of the Golden State Warriors, specifically in transition, where Trae Young was killing them yesterday. Steve Kurt spoke about that.
40 points in the first quarter. We were swimming upstream the rest of the way, and I love the way the guys fought after that, but it was a layup line in the first quarter. Transition defense was awful. Give them credit. They were ready. They came out smoking hot. But at halftime, I think they had 23 assists and 3 turnovers. We didn't impact the game defensively until it was far too late.
23 assists and 3 turnovers. So if you look at the turnover battle, like it wasn't like outrageous. They had 9 to the Hawks 14, but it was the ones that killed you off the points off the turnovers, as Steve Kerr is saying. Like it was just they were backbreakers in the first quarter. When you get down 17 points, like it's so hard on the road
this
without
team
Stephen
doesn't
Curry.
Have the offense to play catch up in a game like that, nor do they have the defensive stoppers. No. If you're going to play Buddy Hield and you're going to play Quinton Post and you try to get back in
the
game.
That's another guy, Buddy Hield, man. Like 1 3-point attempt in a game like that when you're down 17. Start chucking them up.
I know.
Just start chucking them up. Like, why not do that? That was frustrating for me, like the Buddy Hield angle.
But they also know that he's trying to shoot. And I thought they did a good job running him off the line. And he was making the extra pass.
Yeah, that's fine. But 17 minutes?
No.
Two shot attempts only? Two shot attempts
are
unacceptable.
He's out there to shoot.
That's literally what he's out there to do. I get it.
But Guy Santos, too, was really bad in this game.
4 minutes.
He has not. Yeah. Ever since JK's return, it feels like Guy hasn't been able to find his footing. But I would argue that, like, I like Guy, but he's a ninth man. Like, ideally, he's a ninth man.
He's
right?
A lunch pail guy. You know, he'll try to make
it a
little
bit better.
Yeah, he'll
get a couple extra possessions.
Hustle
and
guy.
If he knocks down a three or two, like, it's found money. But without Steph Curry, you're hoping that Guy can hit a couple of threes, and he didn't, you know?
The fact of the matter is the Jonathan Kuminga, Jimmy Butler tandem has just not been great.
No.
It just hasn't been. And that was a game I felt like fans wanted to look at and say, yeah, like, Steph's out, okay. Let's watch JK. Let's watch Jimmy Butler. Let's watch him. Let's watch them get on the same page. Like Jimmy was so like, I really appreciated this leadership of Jimmy because how much did he say when JK was out? Like, hey, JK, just come back. You play your game. Draymond Green, same thing. Just play your game. Hey, Steph, just play your game. Well, playing his game, I guess, and it really hasn't translated. And if you're Steve Kerr and there's a Steve Kerr angle in all this, like, when do you start like reeling it back a little bit and like maybe you do feature because Steve Kerr was staunchly saying like, no, we got to have minutes for Guy Santos, even with JK coming back. We got to find minutes for Guy Santos. Like,
I think Steve needs to do some stuff that'll actually help JK and Butler.
What are some of those things?
Overlapping minutes, number one, which there have been few and far between. Number two is stop the your turn, my turn. Like, as in, throw it to JK. Like, all right, JK, do your thing. Right? I think JK can be extremely useful in a Jimmy Butler high pick and roll. How many high pick and rolls has JK and Jimmy Butler run together?
Yeah, like none.
I don't even know if there's been one.
Yeah, I haven't seen any.
So, like, that's what I would like to do. But you have to have the appropriate spacing alongside those guys. So you do have to play a Buddy Hield, and you do have to play a Quentin Post alongside those guys to have some stretch shooters, a Moses Moody. I think that lineup would actually work. Not bad, but here's where Steve goes, I got to have a ball handler. Yeah. Well, Jimmy's your ball handler, right? That's where I
view him as the point guard when he's out there.
Like, well, especially with Steph.
Exactly.
And if you're not going to
get... Even with Steph, quite frankly, he's the ball distributor.
I agree. Yes. And if you're not going to play Pat Spencer, I believe he got a DMP in this game.
He did. I don't remember him playing. DMP.
Yeah, so if Pat Spencer's not going to play at all, then Jimmy's got to be your backup point guard. And in that situation, like, run some high pick and roll stuff. We know Jimmy, like Trae Young, is going to stop on a dime and get a foul, right? And then you have JK as your roller. I would like to see more of that.
I actually want to play this sound. It's on my board still, and I'm glad it is. It was actually from last week from Anthony Slater.
I'm still hopeful that JK can turn this thing around. No, I am. But I'm still patient.
Absolutely. I think this is Slater from you and Evan, but he was talking about why Jimmy and Kuminga don't play together often, and it was very interesting to me.
Yeah, it's early, and, you know, Kuminga, they're still kind of, what, 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20, then like 27, 24, so I think that kind of limits it, but they should put that combo more. There's spacing concerns, but to me, sometimes I think they're a little bit afraid of it, like they were afraid of Wiggins and Kuminga, and to me, you don't have the similar problem as you had with that kind of the Wiggins-Kuminga pairing because of Butler's playmaking and his ability to lift others up, but I kind of think it's more been about who's in and out of the lineup and Kuminga's minutes restriction than them not wanting those two together, and I think you will see them together in lineup combinations plenty in the next few weeks.
That was Anthony Slater, excuse me, I had my mic off, last week with you and Evan.
So, like, think about it right now. Like, your point guard currently with no Curry is who?
Point guard with no Curry? Well, it's Pajemski.
It's Pajemski.
But,
right? So now, who's your backup point guard? Well, if you're not going to play Pat Spencer, which is fine, it's got to be JK.
Yeah.
Excuse me, JK. It's got to be Jimmy Butler.
No, he has to
it's got to be Jimmy Butler, right? And so,
God, not Jonathan Kuminga.
Like, JK needs to play alongside Jimmy Butler, but you also want Jimmy Butler playing those starter minutes and the overlapping stuff. And when you don't have Curry, right, his minute allocation changes and the combinations that you're playing with him, he's now the forefront scorer. So, like, they're just, everything's out of whack now.
Like,
it's one game, too.
And why are they so afraid? Like, I saw Jimmy Butler maximize Gabe Vincent and Max Strus and turn them into, like, high-quality players. Like, I know he could do that for Jonathan Kuminga if given the opportunity, but again, it goes back to urgency with this team right now, Joe Shasky. 11 games to go. Like there's part of me where I understand Steve Kerr's like, I can't be tinkering and experimenting. Yeah. Like, we got to win these games. But at the same time, you kind of got to do the tinkering and experimenting now because you're not going to be able to do that in a series. Like, that's done. Like, if I'm playing the Rockets in the first round series, like, and I lose game one or something, it's like, yeah, I can't start tinkering right there. Like, it's too late for that. So, like, you got to start doing these things now. And I thought it was a prime opportunity with Steph out to feature that tandem more together. And I just thought, again, whether it was the high pick and roll situation, not utilizing that enough, I don't know what it is. And that comes down to head coaching. And that's what it comes down to Steve Kerr with me. And we talked about it. Him being able to thread the needle with this team when Jonathan Kuminga comes back, it's going to be a lot on him to be able to do that. I know JK, to an extent, has some culpability because he's the player ultimately. But Steve Kerr's going to have to figure this thing out because we know come Western Conference playoff time, like the Thunder of the world, the Rockets, the Grizzlies, young, big, athletic teams, you are going to need Jonathan Kuminga's presence in a lot of minutes here, whether it's 22 minutes, 24. I don't care if he's starting or not. I just need him to be comfortable on the court with Jimmy, with Steph, with Draymond, and hopefully Steph comes back sooner rather than later.
Well, they played different combinations with JK. The one that I just doesn't work, and I know that they got off it almost immediately, JK, Looney, Draymond. It just doesn't work. Yeah. It doesn't work. There's too many non-shooters. It's not going to work for you. The other one that is clunkier is JK, Kevon Looney, GP2. Mm. Clunky. Not a lot of shooting. The other one is GP2, JK, Draymond. Like, those were the combinations. And if Buddy Hield's not going to take shots, like, you're making it a lot worse.
That was honestly,
right? So
I think we can point the finger
at JK and we can blame him for this and that. But combinations of who this guy plays with matter. He's not a point guard. He's not a give me the ball, let me facilitate, let me get mine within the fabric of the game. You got to get him to the ball on certain spots on the floor. And so I do think that the spacing you have alongside him is extremely important. But he's also, like, he's got to take a little bit of onus on his own career. And he's got to stop complaining. And that would be one thing I would say is, hey, JK, every time you take a possession and you're sitting and turning in, you stop playing basketball and you argue to the referees and put both arms up, it kind of drives me crazy.
Well, that's the Pajemskis of the world, the Kamingas of the world. Like, that's just what the young kids do now these days, unfortunately. That's part of it.
But here's what I'd say.
It's just what they do.
Again,
I feel like I'm an old man. I'm 31 years old.
That's what the young kids are doing these days. But he's under the microscope.
Yeah.
And he needs to acknowledge that. And again, you have to take onus of your own career, right? This is his own career. And I would say it would start with stop complaining. Play through the contact. Look at what GP2 is doing without the ball and moving and creating shots for himself by just being active and aware, not waiting for the ball to come to him. That's the role that he needs to embrace a little more. And the harder you play on defense, the more the ball will find you on offense.
Well, did you hear when Slater said, who covers the Warriors 95-7 the game, we just played that cut from Anthony Slater, and he was likening to, he's like, maybe they feel like they're a little scared of Jimmy and JK like they were JK and Andrew Wiggins. I was like, Jimmy Butler's is just a completely different player than Wiggins. Like, totally different.
But Kerr does have certain philosophies that I don't know. There's certain things he's stubborn on that I don't agree with.
Like, the vision of a Jimmy Butler as a passer, infinitely better than what Andrew Wiggins ever was.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's so much different to me. Like, I feel like Jimmy's the perfect player to unlock. I really believe this, that Jimmy Butler is the perfect player to unlock Jonathan Kuminga. We just haven't seen it yet. And will we ever see it? And can we see it soon enough to the point where, you know, we feel good about him and Jimmy being on the court together and being a positive on there? Because right now it hasn't been a positive, and that's what's frustrating.
And they're missing, I'm telling you, like, with Curry out and Pajemski now in the starting lineup, they don't have that backup point guard to set up that second unit. That second unit is bad.
11 games off. They need Stephen Curry back bad. I think he's going to play tomorrow.
Do you trust Kevon Looney off the bench?
No, I don't. He doesn't play enough for me to trust him right now.
Do you trust Gee right now?
Not really, because confidence is so huge with these guys and matchup given. Let me backtrack on Kevon a little bit. Depending on the matchup, I know what I'm getting from him. I'm not questioning.
Not today.
Not right now. Like, yeah. I don't question.
Things change.
I don't question his mental, like the IQ and the mentals there. Like, the physicality, though, and like he's a slightly diminished player than what he once was. I know he's going to be a gamer. He's going to try. But, like, is he going to be a winning player on the court? I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Right? Like, I trust GB2 right now. I don't
trust Buddy Hield.
There you go, right?
I don't trust Buddy Hield.
So they're playing different.
For him to gain my trust, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. He needs to shoot the ball.
But Joe, you're playing Kuminga alongside three guys no one trusts at times. Not long times, but at times.
And how could Kuminga trust them in a way too?
Right? Yeah. So, like, you're looking at a ball-stopping situation with a bunch of non-shooters and guys that aren't great.